Today is Wednesday, March 9th, third day of the month of Adar 2. This is the women's Chumash share. We're up to Dvarim, Perek Lamed Gimel, end of Parshat Vezot HaBracha. Okay, Rabotai. We are up to Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chavav. For the last few weeks, maybe months, we focused on the bracha of Moshe to Am Yisrael, to each individual shevet. Now, Moshe will begin addressing all of Am Yisrael, and from this particular pasuk, everybody agrees that he is addressing Am Yisrael. Whereas we quoted earlier, some already believed, Rashi quoted both interpretations, where the Pasuk Chaf Hei, Barzel Unechoshet Min Alecha, is a reference specifically to Asher, or a broader statement to all of Am Yisrael. Before I see we read the text itself, just two introductory remarks, two different perspectives as to what the objective of Moshe will be in the next 1, 2, 3, 4 psukim until the end of this particular perek, which will lead us into Moshe's passing away, perek lamed dalet. So the next 3-4 psukim, Moshe concludes his bracha, and there are two distinct approaches as to what Moshe is trying to accomplish by making his statement. A is that it's in effect a runoff of the previous brachot that he had given to the Shvatim. If I were to ask you, what was the most prominent feature of all of Moshe's brachot? What did he focus on more specifically than anything else? What did he? If you take all the Shvatim in general, what did Moshe focus on? Almost with not with all, but the majority. What? The land, correct. He looked to describe a feature of each and every one of their lands. So many claim that now Moshe is going to address all of Am Yisrael, and claim that their conquest of Israel, which will be imminent, is going to be a secure one, that they will succeed. And he's going to describe the power and might of Am Yisrael in general against the nations who they are currently occupying, in order to tell us and share with us that the conquest will ultimately succeed and establish incredible safety and security within Am Yisrael. So we'll read how Moshe describes that in most poetic form. That's one particular approach. So bear that in mind. There is a second approach in which Moshe is in effect addressing a totally different concern. Namely, Moshe, despite the fact that he was an Anav, as we learned many, many moons ago in Parshat Baha'alotcha, that Moshe haya anav mikol ha'adam, mikol ha'ish asher al pnei ha'adamah. There is no doubt that he was a great anav. But anivut is not described or defined the way we are accustomed to hearing it in a litvisha based medrash where they're studying Musa. They believe that you go around saying, ich bin der chagol nisht, I'm a nothing. That's what they mean, anivut. I'm a nothing, just say you're a nothing. You know, the next guy says, "Ich bin der aggressor agunish. I'm a bigger nothing." You know, that's
also boasting,
right? That's all exactly. I'm a bigger nothing. So the other one says, "Echet mar agunish." He thinks he's a nothing. I'm a nothing. You know, so that's not what anivut means. Anivut means that a person understands his or her ability, recognizing the talents that one possesses, and acts in accordance with that responsibility without necessarily advertising and boasting. And Anav knows that he could be a giant. a giant in strength, a giant in scholarship, a giant in resources. So a guy who's a multimillionaire knows that what is his responsibility, having been blessed as a multimillionaire, to help other people. Okay, so if he does so in a quiet, humble fashion, that means he's an anav. Doesn't mean that he doesn't have to say, I'm the biggest nothing in the world. He doesn't have to say that. No, he can tell people, I'm the eighth richest man in the world. Nothing wrong with saying that. But then live up to that responsibility of being the eighth richest man in the world and go ahead and share your wealth with hundreds and thousands of impoverished people. So if you now were Moshe Rabbeinu, and you were asked to describe a biography, give a biographical sketch of yourself, how would Moshe describe himself, having, we're coming to the end of Moshe's life. So you read all about Moshe's incredible life. What would you say when somebody asked, Moshe, how would you describe yourself? And he's not going to say, Ich bin der Chagol nicht. He's not going to say that. What would Moshe say in that biographical sketch? What would he say? What do you think he would say? Yeah. What?
I took the days from Adam.
Okay. What else? Evan Hashem, yes. Yeah? What? Good. Not only a good, elaborate. Not just a good leader. I am the most important figure in Am Yisrael's lives.
You would say that?
About himself? 1,000%. If he's giving an honest appraisal about himself. I know what I have done to intercede between Am Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu time and time and again. Correct.
It would be fair, but the same.
It is. And he lived up to that responsibility. He knew he had certain talents. He could tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu certain things that most of us would not dare to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just 2 weeks ago, we read Parshat Ki Tisa. What did Moshe tell when asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness for the ego? What did he threaten? Im Tisa, fine. Ve'imayin, mecheni misifrecha asher katavta. Wipe me out of this book. You got to have a little gall to tell that to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he was successful. Sometimes more successful, sometimes a little less successful. He asked at the Chet HaMeraglim, and he was not terribly successful, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not forgive Am Yisrael completely. All he agreed was, I will not eliminate and destroy them entirely in one time. Va'achale otam kiroga. But it'll take over 40 years. So sometimes he was more successful, sometimes less successful. What do you think Moshe is, what's running through Moshe's mind as he knows his life is about to come to an end? In that respect, what he might want to tell Am Yisrael. Good, that would be one particular tack. But if I'm going to give you a little glimpse, that all he does is discuss the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what do you think his message is going to be at this particular time? He chooses not to identify Yehoshua. That'll do a little later. Yeah?
I think he would say, I'm not getting into Eretz Yisrael because I did this little thing, so you better shape up.
Good, that's one thing. And what else?
I'm not here to run interference with you anymore, so you better shape up.
Exactly. I'm not going to be around to run interference for you any longer. You better go ahead and conduct yourself appropriately. And if you just wanted to make the connection to the land, what will he now be telling them about the land, despite the fact that he is no longer going to be here?
The same way you didn't get in there because you didn't want, everything that you do is going to be dependent.
Correct. All true. But what else? If you use the imagery that you're looking for a promise of stability, that what's going to happen, that even though I'm not here, what opportunities will potentially exist? Even though I'm not going to be here, that you can enter the land, and what happened? What will happen? You will stay there. You will succeed without me. You will succeed in the conquest without me. Now that's something that this generation might have a difficult time understanding. You will succeed without me. Why do you think he's going to? How will Moshe now turn that? And how will he, what will he try to share with them? Because ultimately, it's not me that is responsible for success. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he's now going to, in effect, show Am Yisrael, or try to convince them that, despite the fact that it may have appeared up until now that I was responsible for X, Y, and Z, you mentioned Yitziat Mitzrayim. It looked like I played a dramatic role, right? But I am telling you, it's not me. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu who was responsible. And as a result, I am telling you that you will have the ability to succeed in the conquest, and that the conquest will be a permanent one. So there are two possible perspectives as to what Moshe's objective is in the next four psukim. So let's read it. Yes.
Whenever Hashem spoke to Moshe and then he told
Am Yisrael,
did he say Hashem told me this to tell you?
99.9% of the time, yes. Unless there was a personal conversation, which is not to be shared. And that typically is the intention of the word lemor in the text. Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe. Lemor means not saying. Obviously he was saying, because it says vayedaber. Lemor means to begin the process of transmission. Moshe would tell Aaron and, let's say, another Elazar and Isamar.
But is the source always HaKadosh Baruch Hu?
Yes.
It's told to the people?
That's correct. In the name of God, Moshe is now telling us. Yes. So let's see what Moshe says. We're in Pasuk Chavav. Ein Ka'el Yishurun Rochev Shamayim Be'ezrecha Uvigavaso Shechakim. Am Yisrael Yishurun, you should recognize what?
Why that name?
Ein Ka'el. Nobody else has what?
Has a God
with strength as you do, Yishurun. Moshe has used the word Yishurun a couple of times here. Vayhi Bishurun Melech. That's a name given for Am Yisrael. And we will see why he decides to employ it, the famous Netziv. Rochev Shomayim. God literally rides in heaven. His chariots are in heaven. And those chariots in heaven provide assistance for you. Be'ezrecha. Uvegavaso shichakim. And in his great uvegavaso, that's one way to translate it, shichakim. We now are standing or surviving in through the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, there's nothing for you to worry about. It will undoubtedly succeed. Undoubtedly succeed. That's correct. Correct. It is the God who in effect dwells in heaven is responsible for our success. Why will we be successful? Because he's no God that's standing right here on earth. A king who is here on earth is subject to challenge by any other more powerful king. But our God is Gavaso. His greatness is where? Shechakim, in the heavens. If his greatness is in the heavens, he's untouchable, undefeatable. Undefeatable. That's simply what it means. Simply what it means. So however, take a look at Rashi. In Pasuk Chavav, we'll start with Rashi. Again, this is not difficult at all. Just a question of what he means. It's pretty similar, the entire four Pesukim unit. Says Rashi, Ein Ka'el Yishurun. Da'alecha Yishurun, I want you to know, Am Yisrael, who identified as Yishurun, She'ein Ka'el B'chol Elohei Ho'amin. There is no God like our God amongst all of the nations of the world. Now, the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu has so many different varieties. Why does he use the word El here? What dimension of God does the word El denote? Power. Kayach. Power. HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears in a multitude of ways. El is always used to describe We use it in Shira. Micha mocha ba'elim Hashem. Who is amongst you, amongst the most powerful one? You, HaKadosh Baruch. There's nobody like you. Elim always means powerful. And Elohim also is, which is an extension of it, is Midat HaDin. Exactly how God exerts His power of this world. His power in this world. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God, and Am Yisrael has it. You make a very good point. Why does Moshe choose to identify Am Yisrael as Yeshurun? He used it earlier in the Parsha Vayehi, Bishurun Melech. So I share with you very, very well-known, famous Nitziv in his introduction to Sefer Bereshit. The Nitziv, there are many nicknames that have been associated with each and every one of the Chumashim. Right? So Sefer Bereshit is called Sefer HaYetzirah, Sefer Shemot is called Sefer HaGe'ulah, Sefer Vayikra is called Torat Kohanim. There are many names. One of the names which the Midrash uses for Sefer Bereshit is Sefer HaYisharim. Sefer HaYisharim. Dor Yisharim. Correct. Why asks the Nitziv is it called Sefer HaYisharim? Because who are the major characters that appear in Sefer Bereshit? The Avot, exactly. And a characteristic trait of the Avot, says the Nitziv, is that they were able to relate and interact with Jew and Gentile alike, with friend and enemy alike. Avraham went to war on behalf of whom? Who did he go to war with? Against. Who did he go to war against? Yes, he fought Abimelech. Who else? Who else? Remember the four kings against the five kings, right? Kedar Laomer and so on and so forth. What's with Abraham's business to get involved in this fight of four kings against five kings? Because he has a sense of what? Yosher. Yashrut. A person who is a Yashar understands that you have a responsibility to react to injustice, to unfairness, no matter who the person is. Even if you have no technical connection to him, you should react. This lengthy address to explain that each and one of the Avot had the capacity to relate. Yaakov had the ability to negotiate with Esav, right? Even though Esav, according to the Midrash, tried to kill him. The text, it doesn't say that, but the Midrash says that that battle was between Sar Shel Esav and Yaakov. Okay? But nonetheless, Yaakov found it within him to subsequently make peace with him. You go to the right, I'll go to the left, let's not fight, and so on and so forth. So a Yashar is somebody who can react to injustice, somebody who is willing to befriend and handle everybody with a sense of Yosher. So he is now called, therefore the book is called Sefer HaYisharim. In fact, Bilam in Parshat Balak says, Tamot Nafshi Mot Yisharim. I covet for myself the death of the Yisharim. Who are the Yisharim? Says Rashi, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How did they die? Nishika, very peacefully. And so Bilam is praying to God that I covet and desire the same type of death, Tamot Nafshi Mot Yisharim. And there is an identification as what? As Yisharim to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. In effect, what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing by identifying Am Yisrael as what? As what? Ein Ka'el Yishurun. What message is he trying to communicate to Am Yisrael? What message? What's the message?
That Hashem will be there for you when you're
If you want this God to act as El to protect you against all the enemies, he wants you to do one thing. Be a Yashar. If you will conduct yourselves with the midah of Yashrut, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do whatever He is promising in this particular unit. So that's one thing that He's asking us to do, and it's communicated by us by selecting this particular name. It doesn't say Am, doesn't say B'nai Yisrael. There are many ways He could have described them. Goy, many different descriptions. Here He selects Yishurun. He's in effect asking Am Yisrael to conduct themselves with the Midah of Yashar, of Yashrut, to emulate the Midah associated with the Avot.
So in one verse, how would you say Yashrut, the Midah of Yashrut?
The Midah of Yashrut, that's correct.
In English, what one word?
What it?
Straightness?
To be straight with somebody. Straight and straight and can't, yes.
So being straight doesn't necessarily make you able to deal with Jew and non-Jew.
No, but it also means to be straight with everybody, not only your own clan. You know, to look at everybody for whom they are, you can expand upon. It's hard to find one word that would include, you know, to define the word yashar. You know,
it's also fair.
What?
It's also fair.
Yes, there are a lot of many adjectives that can help define it. It's hard to capture it in one word. You know it when you see it. That's all. When you see a person who's yashar, you can describe him. You know what it is. You know what it is. Yes.
Well, I have a problem because in reading the Torah and the Halakha, I can't tell if it applies to Am Yisrael or to universal. And yashrut seems to be a universal midah.
Right.
Other rules don't seem like the rules of war to apply only to Jews and the slavery. I mean, there's a difference between a Hebrew slave and a non-Hebrew slave. So are the Torah rules about, you know, that, for example, I shall not kill, and I shall not...
But they apply to Jew and Gentile alike.
They do.
So stealing, theft, applies to Jew and Gentile alike. No doubt. Yes?
Well, the Sheva... It's about B'nai Noah. Tell us which
ones are said. There's a lot more. Like Lashon Hara. Does that apply to Jews? Somebody told me that's only about Jews.
Okay. In a technical sense, yes. Because the Torah uses always the expression achicha. Don't talk about, you know, your brother. But in the more moral sense, it would apply to anybody. It's not that there's a license to say Lashon Hara about somebody else who's a Gentile. There's no license to do so. No. But if you wanted to be technical about the way the Torah phrases that particular prohibition, it seems to be that it's framed based on Am Yisrael. Yeah. Yeah. Moshe continues, Me'ona Elohei Kedem. The Ma'on, the dwelling of this world, or the world in general, is who is the owner, the dweller of this world? In whose world do we live? Elohei Kedem. The God who preceded everybody else. All other gods. Umitachat zroot olam, and we live below the power of this world. The power of this world is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we occupy this world below Him who is Bashamayim Mima'al, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who guarantees us our survival. Vayigaresh mipanecha oyev, he has driven, or will, technically it's, he will drive the enemy from within your midst. Vayomer hashmeid, and he has told us to destroy them. He has told us to destroy them. Again, two interpretations as to what's happening here. The simple interpretation is that this particular phrase refers to two other psukim that we've already seen in Sefer Bereshit. Actually, in Sefer Dvarim. Number one, the pasuk in Parshat Va'etchanan. I'll just tell you exactly where it is. It's number one on the list. I'm looking for Lo Techayek on the Shema. Oh, we have that in Ras Chan. I'm beginning of Sefer Dvarim. See the Dawud on here. Find it for you. Shoot, I only know this by heart. Our band calls it all the time. Must be getting old. Down here someplace. Okay, I'll find it. One is Losa, and the other one is at the end of Parshat Ki Tetzé. I'll find it while you look up that one. Dvarim chapter 25, verse 19. Perek Chafhei Pasuk Yutet. That's it. So what mitzvah is are we commanded there? Not only no, before that, after Zechirat Amalek. But first, that's Zechirat Amalek. What's the first mitzvah? That's the not to forget. What's the other mitzvah in that pasuk? That's correct. You have to eradicate the memory of Amalek. We have to go to war. And the other one is, and I'll find it one day. It's Lo Techayek on Neshama, which refers to the seven Amamin, that we are told not to allow any living person to survive. Lo Techayek on Neshama. Says most Mifarshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us that it will not happen through his initiative alone. It's not going to happen miraculously. The conquest of Eretz Yisrael is going to require Am Yisrael's initiative to go to war, assemble an army, and there could be casualties as well. But I guarantee you that ultimately you will succeed. So what is the pasuk telling us here? Vayigaresh mipanecha oyeh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that ultimately I will what? I will scatter, drive away the enemy from within your midst. But I'm not doing it myself. Vayomer, he told me to tell you, Hashmeid, you have to make the effort. You have to go to war against the nations of the world, and otherwise, you are. I'm not going to do everything for you. It requires hishtadlus, like we say. Requires hishtadlut. Okay, it's okay. And it's the other one is in Perek Chaf, Pasuk Tet Zayin. End of Parsha Shoftim. Rak me'arei amirei la shirshin nosen lecha lo techayeh kol neshama ki hachareim tacharimeim you shall destroy hachite amori k'nim kashetziv chan shem alokecha. So there are charges to Am Yisrael that this, you can't sit on your behind. We have to necessarily engage in the initiative, but the effort will be successful. So therefore, in both, whether both approaches are correct, either Moshe is trying to reinforce that I promise everything that I told you about your land is going to be fulfilled, or he's trying to emphasize, listen, I'm not going to be here, but all you have to do is follow instructions, go to war, go to battle, and I promise you, you will succeed.
Can't one of them be the charge to them and the other one be his nebuah? In other words, he tells them, you have to do it, but he knows, he has seen the future that it will.
Yes. Yes, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt.
Who's Ma'on?
Ma'on. Ma'on is a dwelling.
Yeah, but Ma'ona, feminine? I know I'm hung up on
this. Yeah, don't get hung
get
up on it.
Right.
Yeah. Ibn Ezra simply says the Ma'on is kimo sukkah. A dwelling, you know. Yes.
If on the one hand he tells everybody to be a shark, have the leader of Yeshua, and before he says, "Look, the fear called the Shema, don't let anybody live what they're fighting," they seem to be opposite principles.
It's a very good question, but if you remember correctly at the time, when we discussed Lo Techayeh Kol Neshama, we presented a machloikis between the Ramban and the Rambam. The Rambam is of the opinion, and according to the Rambam, your question, Bimkoma Omedet, the Rambam says, you don't ask any questions when it comes to the Shiva Amamin. Just kill whoever's there. The Ramban says, Lo Yitachein, that you should not have an opportunity for Kriat Shalom. To give them an alternative. What's the alternative? Put down your arms, and you will allow you to live here if you promise to do two things: recognize the authority of the Israeli government and pay taxes. Or I give you the next option: you can leave. If you don't want to accept one of those conditions, I'm going to kill you. So that's the Ramban. Well, that would be Yashrut. I'm giving you a chance to what? To live here, but under my rule. According to the Rambam, I hear it. And the Rambam explained why God engaged in this commandment, which seems on the cruel side. And we said this at the time, because the Rambam said that if you're going to allow people to remain there, there is always going to be hostility breeding within that group. Always. They will never come to peace with the fact that you have simply taken over their land because God said it belongs to us. And therefore, in order to spare future life, because they're only going to make trouble, just get rid of the problem once and for all. That's the Rambam's opinion. But I hear the tension that you recognize, that you identify. Vayishkon Yisrael Betach. Am Yisrael will dwell with this measure of safety and security. But I misread it based on the trop. It could be, the correct reading should be Vayishkon Yisrael Betach Badad Ein Yaakov. Batach Badad Ein Yaakov. Which is a little contradictory in nature. What does Betach Badad mean? Security and alone. Now normally, being alone doesn't conjure up the image of being very secure. When do you create the image of security? When you have a lot of people, what? With you. If you're living alone, so Rashi says, here, that's exactly the ultimate bracha. If you're afraid of attack, sit in, what do you have to do? You have to live in clusters in order to protect you. But if there is safety and security, you can afford to live alone with miles and miles apart between one resident and the next. There's absolutely nothing to worry about. I don't have to worry about being attacked by one person because ain't nobody attacking. So it's, one second, Vayishkon Yisrael. Betach Badad, establishing what? An element of security, even though, despite the fact that you live alone, who? Ein Yaakov. Anybody who will come from the spring of Yaakov, that's how Ibn Ezra interprets it, anybody, any descendant of the spring, Ein doesn't mean the I, but coming from Ma'ayan, Me'ein Yaakov, anybody who ultimately come forth from the spring of Yaakov will have this bracha granted to them, that they will live in security despite the fact that they live alone. Where? El Eretz Dagan V'Tirosh, in a land that will be well blessed with grain and wine. Af Shamav Ya'arfutal, the heavens will also be blessing the land with dew and rain. And Rashi claims that it refers, in addition to Moshe's own brachot, he's asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu at this time to confer the bracha of Yitzchak unto Yaakov. What was Yitzchak's bracha unto Yaakov? V'yiten lecha Elohim mital hashamayim u'mishmanei haaretz. So, therefore, the reference that everything that I told you, remember, how many of the tribes did he describe in terms of great produce? Asher is oil, this guy's grain, this guy's milk, you know, everybody has got tons of produce. So here, in order to facilitate or to advance the brachot that he elaborated upon, he makes reference to the bracha of Yitzchak, which specifically says that you will witness the fulfillment of the bracha of Yitzchak unto Yaakov. Ibn Ezra adds one other idea, that if you have if you don't have adequate rainfall, as Israel unfortunately does experience, what is it necessary for you to do to make sure that your fields are well irrigated? What do you have to do? You have to irrigate. You have to work and dig, you know, your ditches, irrigation ditches. So the bracha is that you're not going to have to exert that type of effort. Where will the water be provided from? Directly from heaven. There will always be sufficient rainfall to guarantee produce without having you to worry about how you're going to get water from water centers to the land which you are cultivating. I haven't remembered in many years that this bracha has been fulfilled. You know, it's one of the big problems in our system. Yeah.
I would take that Israel will be solitary and that it will not have to depend on other nations or help from others because Hashem will protect them. And that they can, by solitary, is that they are like an eminence, that they're strong enough in their justice and sense of what's right and wrong, and they're solitary, and that the other nations aren't like that.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Is always, you know, do we want to be alone? Are we alone because we're
ostracized?
Look,
what's his name? Bilam, describe us. Hen am levadad yishkon. We have no one to depend on. That's correct. I omitted to tell you the second interpretation of Ayom HaShmeid in the previous pasuk. Just the opposite. Just the opposite, which is Svarno's approach. Do not think for a moment that it is your cherev, your power, that succeeded in Vayigaresh Oyev Mipanecha. Do not think for a second that is your military might. What ultimately was responsible Vayigaresh? Vayomer. What does Vayomer HaShmeid now mean? Hashem said, I am going to destroy them. Vayomer HaShmeid. Even though I ask you to participate, I do not want you to think for a moment that it is your success, your initiative. Kolchi va'otzem yadi asali esachay elazeh. But it's I am the one who is responsible. Just the opposite. The emphasis is not that you're called upon to make a contribution, but to tell you. That's obvious that you have to make a contribution. But sometimes when you succeed in battle, you somehow begin to believe that it's your own military prowess that was responsible for it. Says the Pasuk, no. Why? Because I said, Vayomer Hashmei. That's the opposite approach to this. That's Sfarno's approach. Yeah. And then one last pasuk. Again, it's very similar, just in poetic terms, saying the exact same thing. Ashrecha Yisrael. How fortunate you are, Am Yisrael. Mi kamocha. Who can possibly be like you? Am Nosha Bashem. A nation that what? Receives its assistance from God. Magain Ezrecha. His shield is that which protects you, helps you. Va'asher cherev ga'avosecha. And your greatness lies not that you have to use your sword, but rather whose? HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sword is going to be extended on your behalf. V'yikachashu oyvecha lach. Your enemies will be weakened at your presence. V'ata albamo teimo tidroch. You will now, what? Trample upon their bamot. Bama teimo, on his bama tidroch. What is a bama? Maze bama? They're avodah zarah. A bama is a private altar that you erect in your backyard to offer korbanot. So you will be stepping upon it, and the fulfillment of Dvarim chapter 12, verse 2. Please look at Dvarim chapter 12, verse 2. In Parshat Re'eh. Abe to Abdun. Et kol hamikomot asher avdu sham hagoyim. Command upon entering Israel is to what? To destroy all of their idolatrous places. Symbolically, Moshe says, Ve'ata abama teimo. You will take all of their bamot, symbolizing all of the manner, all forms of pagan ritual, pagan worship. Tidroch, we will step upon. Moshe uses that phrase tidroch quite frequently. Kol makom asher tidroch kach rag lechem, lechem yihyeh. Exactly. Moshe likes to use that word, stepping upon people. Stepping on people. Yeah.
No, that's maybe because he sees that he will no longer be stepping ahead. He will no longer be walking to any of these places. He will be walking.
That is correct.
Walk for good, walk
that,
for
yes, good. Yes, no doubt, no doubt. It has never escaped his memory that he was denied. He mentions it 20,000 times. It bothers him to no end. Yeah.
They translated Bama Mitzvah as haughty ones. It's translated as haughty ones. And in Bozo, they're next.
Yes. That's Rashi. Rashi also says that. Rashi also says, yeah. Simu et raglechem al tzavarei hamlachim ha'ele. Rashi says it means their height, you step on their necks. The neck is very high up on your body. Okay, that's Rashi's interpretation.
Well,
yes.
It's also the Ga'avah.
Good. Very nice. I said this is not terribly difficult. Not difficult at all. Yes.
In Rashi that is bothered by my grammatical question, me'ona, meaning the ma'on of some feminine noun. And he says, kol teva shetchika lamed betrilata hitin lahe besofa.
Right. Mitzrayma means limits Ryan.
Oh, so it should be Lim Ma'on.
Right. You will be dwelling, what? In the dwelling, the residence of?
Ma'ona, toward the Ma'on.
Correct.
Yeah, but there's not a place there.
What?
There's not a place there.
That's correct. Mitzrayma always has a hay. It's a mapik hay.
I don't know, but this does not
mapik. I don't think it has a mapik hay in Mitzrayma. What? Right, you're going to, right, exactly. We're going to Yam. That's right, there's no mapike there. Yeah. Yeah. Now, Sfarno claims that this imagery of Dagan v'Tirosh and Shamay v'Yarfutal, he claims that it is a most unusual bracha, and it's far from the pshat, that we're going to go to a situation where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is responsible for everything, not only in terms of its success, but emulating what had taken place at creation of the world. What did Adam HaRishon have to do the minute he was born? What? That's all he had to do. Correct. You're right. Did he have to do anything else? No. Le'avda u'lishamra is only when? After the Chetah Eitz Hadaat. So Sfarno claims that Moshe's vision is that Am Yisrael will be so devoted and pious unto God that he will reinstate the life as was calculated at the time of prior to the Chetah of the Eitz Hadaat. Namely, that we don't have to do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of everything. Of course, if that would go back to that, that means you can't eat meat either. Because at the time of Adam HaRishon, meat was not permitted, only after Noah. Good. Not terribly difficult. Okay. Now we move to Perek Lamed Daled, which is the conclusion of the Torah, and in effect describes Moshe's last day on earth. Some of this was already referred to earlier when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that you're not going to enter the land. It already appears in Parshas Chukas, parts in Dvarim and Vayeshanan. And here Moshe recaptures what's going to happen. Vaya'al Moshe mi'arvot Moav el har Nevo. Rosh HaPisgah Asher Pnei Yerecho. Moshe goes up from Arvot Moab to Har Nevo, Rosh HaPisgah, which is on the top of the huge plain, Asher Pnei Yerecho. Vayar'ehu Hashem et kol ha'aretz et ha'gilad ve'adan. And he enabled Moshe to take a look at what? At all of the land from Gilad until Dan. Eit kol Naphtali, ve'et eretz Ephraim u'Menashe, ve'et kol eretz Yehuda, ad hayom ha'acharon, ve'et ha'negev, ve'et ha'kikar, bik'at yirecho, ir ha'tumarim, ad tzo'ar. Very nice. He identifies many locales going north to south and east to west. I ask you a simple question, Rabotai. What is the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu enabling Moshe to take a look of Eretz Yisrael? What's the purpose? Give me two possibilities. Two possibilities. Okay. The natural reaction would be...
It's a tease.
Exactly. You know what? You've been begging me. Vo'et Hanan El Hashem, right? We read this in the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, Parshat Vo'et Hanan. Moshe asked, you know, please, E'ebor na ve'ereh et ha'aretz ha'tova. So you could say it's a little tease. You know, you wanted to come, and unfortunately, I'm not going to. So I'll give you, a little tease. Okay. Yeah? What else? Yeah?
Labor,
yes,
that he had led the people and looked to what...
Good. The way The way Rashi sets it up is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did exactly what Moshe asked. Exactly what he asked. What exactly? Rashi decides to play it on the literal sense here. Please open up for just a moment to Dvarim Perek Gimel. Pasuk Chaf Hei. What? Paragimel pasuk chafei. Ebrana ve'ere et ha'aretz hatova. So, okay. So some say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is what you asked me. Ve'ere et ha'aretz hatova. I'll grant it to you. Of course. It depends what you want to look at. Well, if you're going to cross into it, what do you have to see it for? Could have said, Ebrana ela aretz hazot. I'd like to cross into this land. What is he saying? Va'er'eh et ha'aretz ha'tova. So some say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you asked me to see it, I'm going to grant it to you. But others claimed it was a tease. And I don't mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was looking to tease him. God forbid. But why do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Moshe to go up on the mountain to see it? What is the purpose of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's message? Okay, but how about in terms of a message, a moral message to Am Yisrael?
He's going to keep his promise.
No matter who you are. You say that in the pot. Which promise?
The promise to give Eretz Yisrael to the people.
Good, that's what you are saying. Give me a moral message vis-a-vis Moshe that will have an impact upon Am Yisrael.
Even Moshe
couldn't get in. Why? He did one thing wrong. I want you to remember that, folks. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, who does not follow instructions, does not have his request fulfilled. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, Kal v'chaymer, ben benoy shel Kal v'chaymer, you and me. So some claim, the Netziv takes that approach, and several others, that the purpose of this emphasis of vo'er'er is to let Am Yisrael know that Moshe, just like you said, really, he didn't want to ask to go in, to take a look at it. What he really meant was what? To go in. That's a weighted expression. Ebrana, I'd like to cross and walk over the whole land and see it physically. Not to take a glimpse with my eyes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no. Because if I said what? That there is going to be a consequence, you're going to have to live with that consequence, even if you're Moshe Rabbeinu. Even if you're Moshe Rabbeinu. And he wants all of Am Yisrael to be aware of that message. He wants him to be aware of it. Because you have to know that if you want to succeed, if you are going to cross into that land, you can be purged from that land just as quickly as Moshe was denied entry in the first place. So some offer claims. So there's several approaches. One, you emphasize in Parshat Verchan, Ebrana Ve'ereh. No, you asked me to see it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to fulfill your request. Get up on the mountain, you'll get a good view, you'll take a look at it. Others say, second is the way most of you suggested, that he's telling Moshe, look, you worked for the last 40 years, the objective having left Mitzrayim was to do what? To bring him into Eretz Canaan. I'm showing you Eretz Canaan. It's about to unfold. Even though you're not going to see it, I want to at least see the land to which go. Which is some degree of nechama to Moshe. That his dreams and aspirations will have been fulfilled. Albeit not by him, but by his successor. Third possibility is that it's to remind Am Yisrael that no matter who you are, there are consequences to your behavior. Even Moshe Rabbeinu. And I want everybody to know that I could have been Michael. I could have been, you know, the Almighty One, blessed be He. You know, and decide, HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted Rachamim 60 times, And here, all of a sudden, he decided to act strictly al pi midas hadin. Yeah. So there are three. Yeah. Correct?
Yes.
Hariticha be'enecha. Good. That would support that first interpretation. That's correct. I'm letting you take a look. Exactly. Exactly. Right? No doubt. All right. We'll stop here. We'll continue next to Vach. Try to move on and see what Moshe's final descriptions happen to be. And the debate about the last eight psukim in the Torah. Who actually wrote the last eight psukim in the Torah?